Praise God. Tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, oh, I won't be shaken, no, I won't be shaken, 'cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. When she no longer has a place to ride, I am not a captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, stand in your love. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your name. Come on, sing that in. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your name. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Standing in your love. Standing on the rock. And I was standing on the rock. Oh, I was standing in your love. Oh, I was standing on the rock. My firm foundation. My firm foundation. Come on, sing that. And I standing on the rock. Oh, I'm standing in your love. And I'm standing on the rock. a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, I'm standing on the Oh, I'm standing in your love. And I'm standing on the rock, my firm foundation, my firm foundation.
You know, Scripture is true. It's God's Word. God can't lie. And we need to allow the love of God to be perfected in our life. And then every fear will be put down. Amen. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 12. And what's on my heart is just let's ask ourselves this question. Who's in my house? Who's in my house? You know, Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24, 25, 26, and 27, He likens your life, my life, to a house. Because He talks about you can build your house upon the rock or you can build it upon the sand. And so our life is like a house. But also, you and I, also open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 6, 19. We have two openings. Matthew chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 6, 19. And we'll look at what Scripture says about that, and we'll talk about it more in just a minute. Matthew chapter 12, let's start reading at verse 43, if you would, for sake of time. If you're there, say amen. Matthew 6, 43, you notice red letter, Jesus teaching us. Look what He says. He says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into, quote unquote, my house. Notice who's talking. I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swamped, and garnished. Then he goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it also be unto this wicked generation. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple, the house? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple, the house of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Why? Verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Brother Donnie Voss, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for your presence in our life. Thank you for your many wondrous gifts you've given us, Lord. Thank you for that love that flows freely out of heaven in our lives, Lord. That the shed that brought in our hearts, Lord. Give us the understanding in our minds to feel it for a moment, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Donnie. See, there's been a misconception, and I don't think it's been taught enough. When we get to the point where the Spirit of God is drawing us, and we get saved, because the Bible is very clear, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. You know, we become born again. And you are bought with a price. You're bought with the price of the blood of the Lamb, God's Son, your Lord, your Savior. But at the same time, when you got saved, your spirit become born again, but you've got the same flesh body. You've got the same mind, will, and emotion, the same soul. And so if you notice in your life, some of the same struggles that you deal with today is some of the same struggles that you dealt with before. And it's not because you're not saved. It's because we've got to see and understand that the enemy, he works through our lineage. He works through our house. All through the Bible, we can read and see where there's either going to be a generational blessing upon you and your lineage, or there's going to be a generational curse. Now, when you get saved, Galatians 3:13 tells us, and if we're not careful, we'll read that and we miss the whole point. Galatians 3:13 tells us that when we get saved, that we're redeemed from the curse of the law. Now, that simply means that the penalty of my sin that I committed has been taken away from me because of Jesus. And so all of those things that I would have had to pay for, Jesus paid for. But any time that I sin, any time that in my family line that there's been sin, there's always a demon, an evil spirit, that is working to promote that sin, that is working to try to keep me in bondage. You realize I can be saved and on my way to heaven, and I can have complete victory in this area, but over in this area, I can still be bound up. I can still be hindered. I can still be limited. And so what we want to do is come to a fuller understanding of the truth. This word house here, it means a dwelling, but it also means a family line. So just out of curiosity, I just opened up the Bible, and 956 times you find the words house of, you know, house of Judah, house of Ebenezer, house of, fill out any name you want to. It's in there 956 times. So it's important. So when we read this here and we see where Jesus says that there would be evil spirits that would want to have possession of part of your house. Now let's think about that. Possession is not a good word. They would have occupancy is a better word. Thank you, Jesus. Have occupancy. Because just like if you and I don't know how it is at your house, but right now at night, the bugs are horrible at my house. And if you leave the door open, or if you got a hole in your screen, you find out really quick how bad the bugs are. All right? Well, Jesus liking you and I to a house, to be the temple of the Lord, guess what? He said that you and I have many doors and we have many gates. Our eye is an eye gate, an eye door, whatever you want to call it. Our ear is an ear gate, an ear door. Our mouth, it is a gate. The way that we receive information and process it, it's a gate that can be good or a gate that can be defiled. And so we are bought with a price, and the Holy Spirit abides in our spirit, but it does not, the Holy Spirit does not abide in your body, in your flesh, because your flesh, my flesh, is going back to the dirt. The Holy Spirit does not abide in your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. So I've got gates here in my flesh. I've got gates in my soul. I've got doorways. And so the sin that every one of us, there is one big sin that when we got saved that God just miraculously delivered us from. Every one of us. Because if He hadn't have, we couldn't have ever been saved. Because that was the stronghold in our life. That was the strong man. And Jesus said the only way you and I are going to find victory is we got to bind the strong man first. And that's what Jesus done for us. But we've got these other, and the strong man is the symbol of the devil. But then we got the little imps. We've got the little helpers of the strong man that wants to hinder and limit you and I. So I need to get alone with the Lord, and I need to ask the Lord the question. Nobody else can answer it, but I need to ask Him, who's in my house? What gate have I let open? Because the Bible is very clear. If I open this eye gate and I covet something of my neighbor's, that's a sin. And when I covet that and I sin, if I don't deal with that sin quickly and directly, that opens up demonic oppression. That opens up the enemy to be able to operate. All of a sudden, it becomes easier to covet. It becomes easier and it becomes harder to resist it. Now, I'm just using that because we can pick on many things, but we'll try to stay above things that we get on a lot of our toes. So I want us to look this morning, and I want us to understand the importance of how the devil works and how Jesus wants to alleviate that out of our lives. Amen? So let's look at these verses of Scripture again in Matthew chapter 12. It says, when an unclean and impure spirit is gone out of a man. Now, what we got to see here, we got to understand, this is not cast out. He didn't say cast out. He said gone out. So this tells us something here, because a lot of times this scripture has been preached that, boy, you better be careful, because if the devil's cast out, you know, he's liable to come back in your life, you know, eight times more. But that's not what this is talking about. This said this spirit chose to go out. Here's why the spirit might choose to go out. You may be worshiping the Lord and just praising Jesus so much, and the devil can't stand it. His little imps, they can't stand it. So they think, well, I'm going to go over here. Because, see, the devil has copied everything of God. Now, in the way God's system is set up, He has got the perfect hierarchy, the perfect rule and reign. Everyone is in their place at their time, and they work in a perfect secret. They're in unison. And in that unison, it actually performs a covering over the believer, the Christian, when you and I are in the will of God. But if we ever get out of that will, then the same hierarchy of the second heaven of the devil works in the same way. And the Bible says that you and I, we're not fighting flesh and blood, right? But we're fighting principalities and powers, rulers, all of these things, these different levels of demons, and they're like a web, and they're weaved together. And so here Jesus is wanting us to understand that sometime you're going to have more relief. You're going to have more a feeling of victory and deliverance. But the devil's very cunning. A lot of times I've been in church services, and we've had services where the Spirit of God is drawing and dealing in a certain way. And you know in your spirit that God's wanting to do something in somebody's life, but all of a sudden, that feeling that they had, that oppression that they had, that hindrance that they had, it just sinks down to the bottom. And that's not there. And the devil is what? He has hid himself from the light, because he doesn't want that person to respond when the anointed word is going forth, when the chance for complete deliverance is there. And so this is what he'll do. He may even slip out, and all of a sudden they think, well, everything's fine. But then when you reenter your daily life, bam, all of a sudden you walk into that web again, and you're in that place where, man, I didn't think I was having to deal with that. I didn't think that was a hindrance. I didn't think that was a problem. And so Jesus says, when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. So an evil spirit rests in God's creation. Isn't that horrible? But that's where he wants to rest, because he has to have an expression. Now, remember in, I believe it's Luke chapter 13, Jesus come into the temple and there was that lady. She had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. She could in no wise straighten herself up. And so Jesus come and he spoke to that spirit, but he had to ultimately lay hands on her because that was the power of that spirit. That's how powerful it was. But she raised up and she glorified God. And so what Jesus is wanting us to do, he's wanting us to know that we need to learn the expressions of these spirits that's trying to work in our life. If there's spirits of infirmity, there's spirits of pain, there's spirits of confusion in your mind, there's spirits of hurt, there's spirits of anger. There's spirits of jealousy. There's spirits, all of these sorts of things that are working in our life. And the Bible tells us that if you and I are having an issue in our life, here's how we can tell whether it's the flesh or whether it's the devil. If it's the flesh, you can crucify it. I can crucify it. And when we crucify it, all of a sudden, we just rejoice and shout that we are alive through Christ and He's living through us. That we are crucified, Galatians 2:20, that we are crucified in Christ, but we're alive and He's living through us. But if you cannot crucify it, then it's a spirit. And if it's a spirit, it has to be dealt with. Now, we've got so refined in the Western world, in our culture, that we want to medicate everything and explain away everything. And in doing so, we're allowing the devil to covertly work and do what he wants to do. So we got to put this into practice. Now look what he said in verse 44. This impure spirit said, I will return into my house. Now let's think about this just for a minute. You and I, we are blood-bought when we become a Christian. And so our spirit becomes, as Jesus said there in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 that we read, becomes the house, the temple of the Lord. But that has not one thing to do, pinch yourself, not one thing to do with this. Not one thing. You can be on your way to heaven, and you can have joy in your spirit, and you can still have the devil working in your flesh. And we got to tell people this, because we're going to see some people come into this church and God's going to miraculously save them. But then they're going to have to be taught, or what will happen? They're going to find themselves repeating the cycle. How many times have you and I repeated certain cycles? Let's be honest. God forgave us. And we went right back and we done the same thing and we didn't want to do it. There's things I've done I didn't want to do. I cried before God and I said, God, I don't understand. You said that you'd give me the victory. I had the victory in my spirit, but I didn't have it in my flesh. Because there was a demon attached to that. And every time I would get a little relief, he would come back stronger and stronger in that area. Because the Bible says, and see, we got to understand the Old Testament, yes, is the Old Testament. But Jesus didn't do away with the Old Testament, he fulfilled it. And so, in Exodus chapter 20, down about verses 3 and 4, somewhere in there, it talks about, it says that if you love the Lord, you're going to be blessed to 1,000 generations. But there was a time when we didn't love the Lord. And it said that the curse of the Father would be passed down to the third and the fourth generation. See, the things that I'm dealing with in my flesh, I see it in my dad. I see it in my grandpa. Because there's a spirit behind it. We say, the doctor says, oh, it's just hereditary. Has nothing to do with being an hereditary in your bloodline. It has to be doing in the spiritual bloodline. Now, yes, we have a new DNA, and but we still got to learn how to get this enemy out of our flesh, out of our soul. And until we learn how to do that, we'll never have the victory that the Lord wants us to have. Now, notice what he said. Then he said, I will return into my house from whence I come, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Now, see, that's what happens to you and I a lot of times. We come and we pray our heart out at the altar, and God cleans things up. And thank God he does. But what's so interesting here, it's swept, cleaned, and garnished, but there's no mention of the Holy Ghost being in there. That's the key. That's the key. Because, see, some areas of our life, we'll allow the Lord just to do anything he wants to do. But then other areas of life, no, I'm going to keep this for myself. And when I keep it for myself, then that becomes an idol. And when that becomes an idol, then the curse of the idol comes on me. Okay? And until I deal with that, even though, see, it's embarrassing, but it's true. I've passed things down to my two girls that are good, and I've passed down things that are bad. Because the word does what it says it will do. And God can't go beyond his word. And so that's why we see that if we don't deal with it, then the future generations, it gets worse and worse and worse. So what we want to do is we want to bring it back to the Lord. And we want to allow all of those things to be broke off. Now, he said to the third and fourth generations of those who hate him, but he also says, now, don't get mad at me, but this needs to be dealt with, and it is embarrassing, but it's the truth. He said, sexual sin is carried to 10 generations. 10 generations. Now, that means I know in my line on both sides, then I'm cursed for 10 generations. Because, let's be honest, there's fornication, there's adultery, there's all sorts of things. Amen? And all of that stuff has to be dealt with. So that means there's a spirit behind that. And so I've got to say, now, if the Lord has bought my spirit with the price of Jesus, and I'm bought with that price, and I become the house of the Holy Ghost, then I want him to fill up every area of my life, and I want every demon that would be attached to my body, be attached to my mind, will, and emotions, I want that cut off. I want it gone. Because until I get it dealt with, it's going to always be a problem. Amen? Let's think about what Peter said about the devil here just for a minute. You could quote the scripture, but in 1 Peter 5:8, he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom he may devour. But the only way he can devour you and I is if I open a door to him. So here's what we do. We come to the Lord and we say, Lord, listen, I know that there's sexual sin in my life. There's sexual sin in my family line. I know that. I make confession. Just like Daniel did, he made confession for himself. He made confession for his forefathers. I make confession to that. And I forgive my family line for the sin. I don't hold it against them. And I ask that you help me to be delivered from those curses. Now, I'm just using that for an example because that's 10 generations. That's a long time. But if you notice, there's other things. You know, you've been around certain people who couldn't tell the truth, you know. And that's handed down, that's passed down. So whatever it is that has a stronghold or a limitation in your life that you can't crucify, you and I have got to say, Lord, I want this freedom. I want this victory because I don't want the devil to devour me, to devour my future generations. I want for you to show me what's in my house. Don't you want to know why you think what you think? There's a reason. There's a reason. You're going along, you're praising Jesus, you're loving on the Lord, and all of a sudden, bam, here's a thought. Yes. And it brings torment. It brings hurt. Or it brings temptation. Or it brings bondage. And that thought is so powerful that your body has a reaction just like your brain put out the impulse to do it. But it's not you. It's that spirit that's working in and through your mind, will, and emotions, in and through your body. And so I need this very truth that whom the Son makes free is free indeed, right? John 8:36. But how does the Son make us free? We quote it, but we need to live it. John 8:32. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. That word continue is meno. It means to abide. It means to stay in a place of expectancy. If you'll be expectant in my word, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Well, what's the truth? The truth is that Jesus died to break all the curses off of us and to deliver us from all the hand of the enemy. Amen? Glory? Okay. Now, let's look just a little bit more about this. Now, go back to Matthew chapter 12, this time verse 25. Now, see, the whole context of this chapter is about victory over evil spirits. But look what he says in verse 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house, mark it down, or house divided against itself shall not stand. So the devil loves to bring division. And so what we want to do is we want to be in the place and the position where we recognize what the devil's trying to do, how he's trying to work and get us into a divided mind, a mind that will waver. Because a wavering mind, your body's going to follow. And so... if we can start to recognize these little things ahead of time. But before I step off into what the devil wants me to, there's red flags. It's like the oil light on your car. You know, it's there. And if I'll stop and look at the warning signs, then you can exercise the authority over the enemy because you have the power in the name of Jesus. Amen? And so what we've got to learn to do is we've got to go, Lord, I worship you. And I thank you that you give me, you said that you gave me all power and authority over the enemy. And I exercise that right now. In the name of Jesus, I claim the blood. I repent of anything that would have opened the door if I gossiped. You know when you gossip with somebody, that makes an unholy soul tie? And when you have an unholy soul tie, every web of demon that's working in that person can work in you. You see why we got so many problems in the church that we're not supposed to have? So we say, Jesus, I repent. Thank you for bringing it to my remembrance that I did this, or this. Whatever it was, I repented that. And now, because with my repentance, I know that I'm back in right standing with you, Lord. And you told me to take your name and speak it over the enemy. So in the name of Jesus, I bind this spirit of lust. I bind this spirit of jealousy. I bind this spirit of anger. I bind this spirit of torment. Whatever it is, you know what you're dealing with at the time. And when you do that, you exercise that, all of a sudden then, that manifestation of the spirit has to stop. Because of the name of Jesus, it's bound. It's in and under the blood. But then we don't stop there. We've got to recognize then that there's still going to be a division there, because that binding is only going to be for a season. And then the enemy will come back out of that. And so what you got to do, what I got to do, got to do what Jesus said. Jesus said the very first thing in Mark 16:15, I believe it is, he said is what? Cast out. Cast down vain imaginations. You're exactly right. And the vain imaginations comes from the demons, from these evil spirits. Cast out evil spirits. So we've got to learn how to cast out of our own life what the devil's trying to do. You've got the power in the name of Jesus to cast the devil out of your situation, out of your mind, will, and emotions. You've got that power and authority. And if you don't have enough confidence in that, then you need to get a brother or sister or somebody that you can trust and say, I want you to pray with me. Because if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. And in the name of Jesus, that's gone. Instead of us just going through life and beating our head against the wall and then having it good for a while and then the devil coming back and going through the same thing. I'm tired of repeat. This is not the bottle of a shampoo bottle. Wash, repeat, wash, repeat. I don't want to go through this. Amen?
Amen.
I want to walk in victory. So how do we do that? How do you and I walk in this victory? The Word tells us this great statement. In the book of Ephesians, Chapter 4, verse 23, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's your soul. So this renewal can only take place when I stand in faith. I've got to learn how to stand in faith. Now, James 4 and 7, I believe it is, 4 and 6, 4 and 7, it says, resist the devil. Amen? Submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. So we are in this mindset that everything when we get saved is going to be just hunky-dory. But it's not. That's when the battle really begins. So how do I resist the devil? Let's go back to 1 Peter. If we'd have kept reading a while ago, First Peter, this time 5 and 9, this is how we resist the devil. Talking about your adversary, the devil. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in what? That's the only way. That's how we have to do it. Resist the devil in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, everybody's going through what you're going through. It's just their version of it. Amen? So I've got to resist the devil steadfastly in the faith. Now, that word steadfastly, I love it. I think different than a lot of people. But the word steadfastly from the Greek is stereos. And, you know, when you think about stereo, you think about dual channel. Or you think about two. And so, I mean, to me, I can resist steadfastly when I'm standing with Jesus. You know, two as one. We're in stereo. We're in unison. We're saying the same thing. We're wanting the same thing. We're looking at the same thing. We're going in the same direction. Amen? So let's think about that word just for a second. Corey was singing that song, Let's look at where that word's used someplace else. It's in 2 Timothy, if I can find it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God. Now, what's the foundation of God? It's the Word. That's where your faith comes, right? Amen. Now, the foundation of God standeth sure. That's the same word as steadfast. Stereos in the Greek. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Remember, you've been bought with a price. And let every one that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. So what the Word does, the Word brings a separation in our life. It brings a separation from those things that would hinder us and limit us. Now, I'm out of time, and so this is as far as we can go, but you need to come back tonight if you can, and we're going to see how the devil operated in the apostles, the disciples, the apostles, where we can understand how he works in us, but then we can understand how we can stop it, how we can have the victory over it, how we can put into practice what Jesus done for us where we won't have to be oppressed. The weight that you feel, your brothers and sisters feel. They feel it for you. But the weight that you feel and your brothers and sisters feel, Jesus is touched with that feeling of infirmities. He's touched by that so much that he's wanting us to have the freedom and the liberty that he died to give us. Amen? So what I want you to take home with you is it's not going to always be this way. God is taking us somewhere. And if we'll just obey the Word of God and stand on that foundation that is sure, that is steadfast, that is stereos, that is duality of you and Jesus Christ, that you're going to learn how to take authority over everything that would limit and hinder you. Amen? Jesus went to the synagogue and he preached the word, and they said that he preached the word in power and authority, as one having authority, not like the scribes. And when he done that, there was a man sitting on the church pew that all of a sudden the demon rose up in him. Mark chapter 1. Never been an issue before, because nobody'd ever been there with enough anointing that would challenge the demon. But you and I, we're coming into a place where God's going to pour out an anointing that's going to challenge the demons. And we're going to see people who are going to get delivered from lifelong situations. And Christ is going to be glorified. Do you feel that? That's real.
That is real.
All we've got to do is believe him and be moved with compassion and do what he tells us to do. Amen? So Jesus done that, and that man was set free right in the midst of a group of people who didn't even know. Some of them didn't even care. Amen? And that's what's going to happen here. And we're going to see people rejoicing and running and just falling down on their face, worshiping God, saying, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. Amen? Amen? Father in heaven, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. I thank you for groundwork. I thank you for foundation. You are the foundation. But I ask that you take this word that we have spoke this morning, that you have give us unction in, and help each one of us to hide it in our heart. And let this be a building ground, Lord, for what's coming. Lord, I believe with all of my heart that there's going to be people, starting right here with myself, that we're going to have newfound freedom like we've never had before. Because we're going to take heed and we're going to recognize and realize it's not the flesh. We're going to recognize and realize it's not our neighbor, it's not our boss, it's not our spouse. But it's the devil and his imps and we're going to have the open door shut. And we're going to learn how to guard our gates. You said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues, flow the issues, the boundaries of life. I don't want our boundary to be anywhere where the enemy can have an access. Lord, touch and draw this morning and do what needs to be done in our life to get us in that place to receive the fullness of it as we move forward. I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, would you come this morning, make yourself an altar and say, Lord, here I am. I want to get started in the very first step of humbling myself before you and recognizing, realizing what I've heard this morning is going to be the start of freedom in my life, liberty in my life like I've never experienced. And those little things that would hinder and hurt and limit, they're going to be broke off me. I'm going to feel lighter and freer. And I'm going to be able to think and look at people in different manner than ever before because of this newfound freedom. Would you come? Hallelujah.